Good evening. It's great to be here this evening and to be able to enjoy, especially the singing. You know what? Hymns are like a prayer to God. Not only do they praise Him, but they're really like a prayer. And I just can't tell you how much I really enjoy just listening to the congregation sing. If I could get away with it, I'd probably just put the hymnal down and listen. A while back, I was reading through some of my books, and I was reading a story about some Marines in Vietnam. There were a group of Marines getting ready to go on a rescue mission. Some of our Allied personnel had been captured by the enemy. They were aboard the USS Dubuque, and they were getting ready to go land on land and to perform their mission. And as is the custom before each and every mission begins, the squad leader or patrol leader will take the time to go through each and every soldier's equipment to make sure each and every soldier has everything in 100% condition, 100% working order, as to help lower casualties. And while the patrol leader at this time was going through, to his horror, he found that one soldier had all of his weaponry and his magazines loaded with blank ammunition. And anybody that knows or that has heard gunshots or is familiar knows the difference, will be able to tell the difference between a blank and an actual rifle round. If you've only heard it on Hollywood or something like that, you probably wouldn't know the difference. But only when all the Marines unloaded all the magazines and all the weaponry and put in the actual designated live rounds and tossed all the blank ammunition overboard. Only until that was done that they had not gone and started their mission. And when that was done, they finally were able to go ahead and start their mission. As saints, we're called to look after each other, to always be aware of each other and our spiritual needs and where we're at. You know, it's funny, as a kid there was a deacon growing up in the church that I grew up in, and I remember hearing so many testimonies about how this deacon would be able to stop people when they came in the door. And sometimes if they had a hard heart or if they had something on their mind that was bugging them, and they were on their way into a communion service, he would stop them short and he would spend some time talking to them. And I've heard a lot of testimonies about how this deacon had spoke to people from the mouths of the people that he spoke to and corrected. As I prepare for work each evening, the goal that I have is to make sure that I'm ready. For those, I think most everybody here knows me pretty well. My dad and I, we are in construction. I've been in it my whole life. My dad's been in his whole life. It's kind of something that we've done from one generation to the next, you might say. And one of my jobs is every evening, I'm always thinking about the next day. I'm always thinking about how can we do things efficiently and effectively the next day. What tools do we need? And you know, any time that I get lazy, or that I get to the point where I'll just take care of it in the morning. Well, the morning comes, you know, naturally your mind doesn't work very well at 4 or 5 in the morning or whenever it is that you happen to get up, and you forget things. And then things don't go smoothly. You know, the crew doesn't work and act efficiently, and it really just throws a wrench in everybody's plans. You know, at work, every worker has a place. Doesn't matter whether we are roofing a house, building a pole barn, or framing anything. You know, if we're building house after house, the same man will run the saw, and he will do it on every house, on any particular given thing. And while he's moving on to cut the next things, there's always somebody there to grab the lumber that he's cut and go put it on the house. Everybody has a place, a mission, and it doesn't matter what their wages are or anything. Whenever you get to the point whenever you feel like you're on a winning team because everybody works well together and everybody knows their place, you know, everybody begins to develop a sense of satisfaction from their work. It's kind of interesting, whenever we hire new people, new faces, if they've had experience in construction before, one of the first things that we have to ask them is, are you willing to forget everything you know? It's not that we devalue anything else other than our own way, but the problem lies in when somebody brings in a different idea or a different way to do things, it messes up the flow, the efficiency that people have been so used to. And so the people that, believe it or not, benefit the group or the crew the most are the ones that are willing to just totally throw all that they know out and to come in and to accept. And so within a few days, we have a full system, even with the added new member. You know what? It's funny. When I was baptized into this church, I was baptized at 8, like many, many of the members are. I probably didn't fully understand the gospel as I should have. I probably didn't know as much about what I was getting into as probably what I should have. Whenever you come into this gospel, whenever you come and you give yourself to Christ, you're supposed to be able to throw everything back and say, you know what, I'm here. No matter what I think or how I think things should be done differently, I'm here. I'm supposed to accept all of it. The doctrine, as was originally taught by Joseph Smith, all the way up to the prophecies, and all of the mercies of Jesus Christ, everything, all of it, you have to accept all of it. Folks, there have been so many people who have accepted this gospel based upon so little. And what I'm saying by that is they did not accept all of it. They took bits and pieces of what they wanted, and they brought the other ideas in that were not Christ's. People value their own thoughts highly. You know, if my wife and I have a disagreement, you know, oftentimes, no matter what in my mind, I'm right. And it's because in my own mind, I'm convinced. I'm totally convinced, and she's convinced that she's right. In the end, we have to find a way that works for us. We are, we're at a spiritual war. In war, no matter what your job is, you have a lot of stress. The soldiers on the front lines, we've learned a long time ago, can only take a certain amount of time of that front line stress before being pulled back to a safe zone. The idea of a safe zone is to be far away from bombardment. The idea is to be far away from the sounds of fighting, and a place where you can kind of put your mind and your soul at ease for a little bit. In this spiritual warfare, from the moment that we wake, from the moment that we go out of our home, we're bombarded from everything that you look at, everything you hear on the television, the radio, everything that you see on billboards, the people that are around you. You're constantly bombarded. We are constantly at war. It doesn't end. It doesn't stop. It's not just something that you run inside a hospital real quick, you get stitched up, and then you're done. Well, that wound's never going to bother me again. We're constantly under attack. And there's a lot of saints who have become fatigued from this spiritual war because they haven't been spiritually rested and found that resting place. The resting place isn't necessarily just here once a week or twice a week. Coming to church isn't enough. Your home is supposed to be that resting place. You know, it says in the scriptures that out of the home will come the cause of Zion. I've heard many testimonies about this. Out of the home. If your home is not conducive to the conditions of Zion, or at least to the protection of your very own soul from the influences of the world, then quite frankly, your home is pushing against everything that you get here. You know what? I'm sure many of you have heard of a lot of different forms of parasites, but some parasites are pretty hard to get rid of. I know they've got one called the tapeworm, and naturally you can go get a drug and you can usually get rid of those pretty quick. But some of them hold on for a long, long time. They either take surgery, they take weeks of taking special kinds of herbs. And those parasites will take everything out of you that your body can give it. The only way to get rid of something like that naturally is to stop eating anything that is not good for you. Anything that might that might produce a bad chemical. It has to be left out of your diet totally for a long time. And then you have to eat what's good for you. Folks, there have been so many saints, especially so many even at my generation level, who have not really put forth that much effort in our short period of time on this earth, who are already fatigued. And sometimes I begin to question myself why. And I suppose one of the reasons is because people's homes are not set in order. And I think one of the reasons that people's homes are not set in order, it's not just whether or not you have a television that's on 24/7 or whether you've got whatever it is that is holding you back in your home from Zion. I think there's also the family altar that people forget about. And what that is that you pray as a family, that you work and do things as a family. You know, the best times of my life was when my family and I, we all worked together, we all prayed together. Those were the most peaceful times of my entire life. Just like the scripture says, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I know a lot of people my age have tried to improvise for the lack of the Spirit of God. You know what? it's interesting. You go to Proverbs chapter 29, the chapter we were just in. You go down to verse 27. It says, "An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked." I want to ask you, do the wicked find you as an abomination? Do you find sin as an abomination in your life? It's kind of funny. The things that I did as a teenager, as a kid growing up, whether it was I was watching movies or any particular activity that I grew up doing, there's always going to be a weakness in me for those things. And here about a week and a half ago, when I was just really starting to get down and try to study for this message I'm to bring, my wife came up to me and says, "Can we throw the TV out and all the movies and everything?" And normally I would have said, well, maybe some of them. I would have wanted to hold on to something. And naturally at the time, you know, I'd been moved to clean out my home. You see, as a saint, I'm not supposed to even let those things in. But at some point in my life, I had let so many of those things that I had given up at one point in time in my life, I'd let them come back in. You know, I made these little excuses. Well, you know, as long as I don't misuse it, it'll be okay. And while there is some truth to that, if you know how I am, I'm very weak when it comes to temptation. Especially, you know, if I'm sitting around home and I'm playing with my kids, if there's something there to tempt me, I'm so weak. So why take that risk on your eternal life? Why even take the risk? Is it worth it? Is that television or is that thing that holds you back so precious that you're willing to give up eternal life for it just because, well, in my reasoning and in my mind, I can justify it? You know, throughout all the scriptures, the one main battle that we have is it going to be us or is it going to be God? Who rules the throne of our hearts? I find it interesting that there's a distinction between hot and cold in this scripture. That you're either just and upright in the way, or you're either wicked. You know, there's a lot of folks that aren't really hot on the hot side or on the upright way. I suppose I might be one of those that takes the time to make excuses and come up with all these great reasons for why it's okay for what I'm doing. You know, for what I'm doing, it's all right. I shouldn't have to give it up as long as I can divvy it out over time and don't overdo it. There's a thinking like that really turns you into a lukewarm person. As the scriptures say, the Lord says that he's going to spew out of his mouth any person that is lukewarm. It's more dangerous, I believe, for a person to be lukewarm, because in order to be lukewarm, you have to have some knowledge of that which is hot. There was an elder that told me when I was first ordained as a priest, he told me, he said, "Greg, you can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have." And at the time, I got what he was saying. He was giving me some preaching advice that, you need to make sure that you have it in you before you try to minister that to other people. But as time's gone on, I look back to that and I realize, that affects more and more of our ministry than what we even realize. It affects every aspect. I think so many of us have tried to give what we don't have. I know elders in this church who, quite frankly, they use milk instead of the meat. It talks about in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians that those who use milk are unskillful in the word. And some of these men have used milk their entire lives. They did not preach repentance. They preached the love of Christ, but with the love of Christ always comes the message of repentance. They just go hand in hand. Not everything is just going to be given freely. His love is given freely. This great distance between us and God has been made up, but I still have to reach up as high as I can. The Lord makes up all the difference between there, but nonetheless, I still have to do my part. I wonder how many of the saints have been armed with blank ammunition, being given milk when they needed meat. How many of the saints have been given the wrong equipment, the wrong tools, and they've tried to go out and they've tried to fight the enemy or to defend the church, and when they were attacked, they had nothing. They felt they had nothing. And I'll tell you, most of my generation of the church is either atheist or Baptist. And that's literally the way it has gone. It has gone that way for a long time. We lose most of our youth to the world. We'll lose it because we oftentimes try to give something that we don't have, or because that which we should have had wasn't had in the homes. So many people, I've seen so many church members, they believe that since they sent their kid off to church camp and that they made it to Sunday school every Sunday, that my kid has got their proper upbringing, this is all they need, and none of them are here anymore. And some of these elders ask, Why have they totally rejected the Book of Mormon? Why have they rejected the gospel? And I'll tell you, it's because of the lukewarm homes that we live in. The reasoning that I'm a nice guy, the Lord's going to look upon my heart. He's going to see I'm a nice guy. I've heard it from a few good preachers, and I've just put very bluntly, the Lord's going to look at your heart. Every action that you've ever committed, it was first committed in your heart. That's where every action starts, is in your heart. Every action I've committed is coming from my heart. And that's what the Lord's going to see. He's going to see all that. Right? He sees it now. It's pretty interesting in the court system. I always think our founding fathers were so smart, and they are. But I always thought it was so interesting how whenever you swear in to testify in a courtroom, how you're supposed to put your hand on the Bible, put your hand, the other hand in the air, and you say, I solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. A lot of times, folks like to tell half-truths. I know every parent's gone through this. I've got three little kids, and my two oldest ones have gotten to the point where they both love to jibber-jabber, and they talk, and they can talk pretty well. And they're just amazing. I learn something almost daily from them. And it's funny, I see myself in them because just the other day, my oldest one, Samuel, I think at one point in time had gotten a toy taken away from him by the younger brother, David. And naturally, when they began to squabble, then they began to take it back and forth and back and forth. And I happened to be looking from the other room, and I was keeping an eye on them. Well, finally, I walked in and I asked what happened. Well, naturally, David says, Samuel took the toy from me. Well, it wasn't a lie because they've been taking it back and forth, but nonetheless, it wasn't the whole truth. And it's funny how kids can manipulate you like that if you're not paying attention. But you know that I was very much the same way. All I cared about was the truth, that part of the truth that benefited me. That's how most people are. That's how most of us are. I mean, they're like me. They're pretty selfish. I want to take bits and pieces of scriptures that I like, that benefit me, and the rest, well, it doesn't always refer to our time. This is a different time. We live in a different culture. Folks, there's only one culture that matters, and that's Christ's culture. That's the culture of the kingdom of God. Nothing else matters. Our job is to change the culture. Our job is to be looked upon as being dangerous. You know, when Christ came down on the earth, he was looked upon by the Pharisees and the rulers as being dangerous. I wonder, are we looked upon like that? I don't think that we are. All I can tell you in my short message this evening, brothers and sisters, is keep your eye focused on that vision, on that goal. We've got to clean out our homes and do something a little different, or I'd say a lot different. We've got to be able to take away everything that's holding us back. I think there are so many things that I hide from the saints. So many things I hide from every one of you that you might be appalled at. There are things that so many of you do that I might be appalled at if I saw it. But the fact is that we're pretty much all on that same level. There are things that are holding us back, things that we keep in the back of our minds or in the darkest corners, things that we just can't let go of, whether it's bitterment, whether it's jealousy. You know, if you've got a problem with any of these things, you know, you've got to do whatever you've got to do. If it's a television or entertainment, which is one of my weaknesses, the best thing which God gave me, my wonderful wife, and she helped convince me to just pitch it out. Let me tell you, that is a load of burden off, a burden off of me. I can't tell you how much it has already changed my home in the last week and a half. It's embarrassing to even say that I even had one. It's not that it in itself is the sin, it's just that I have no control over myself, because I am a weak sinner. I want to start showing my God that I want to recommit myself to Him. Not just recommit, I want to commit myself and honor the commitment I made at the waters of baptism. I want to honor all the promises and all the things that I promised and told Him that I would do. I know the Lord will bless us, all of us. You know, He will give us the answers. So many people are coming around and saying, I have the answers here. Pick me, follow me, come my way. And they keep saying, I have the answer. But I can't tell you how many times I've noticed that it sounds so good and the emotions almost seem to run, but there's something lacking there. There's no call to repentance. There's no call to change who you are. There's no call to end sin. And on top of that, there's really nothing spiritual. It's a lot of emotions and a lot of crying. I've heard this my whole life, and I think it's beginning to dawn on me that there is something really lukewarm in the church. And I think for the most part, we've all accepted some part of it into our lives. Brothers and sisters, my message is short, but I wanted to leave you with this one thing. Just change your home and walk in your home and start asking the Lord, what do I need to change? Because I can't tell you the joy that it brings just to obey the law. You know, you forget about it. You think that the only joy comes from self-serving, but giving up yourself is the greatest thing that you could ever do. Being the lowliest servant is the greatest thing that you can do. Thank you.